of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And here we go. Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. We want to thank you for joining us here as we go through the Word of God. We're looking at the things that God wants to teach us. If God wants to teach us something, it's important for us to know. And right now we're talking about the importance of abiding. We're going through 1 John. We've been in chapter 2, we've been in chapter 3, we're in chapter 4. We even went over to 2 John for a little bit, but we're going to be in 1 John chapter 4 today. But I'd like to start off today by saying thank you to the folks at Treasure Your Landscape, 321-749-1432. They are a licensed and insured family business in Brevard County. They got over two decades worth of experience in the landscaping business. They have a full array of products, such as artificial turf, carefully designed putting greens, which are really nice, landscaping services, paver installation, landscape lighting, water features, landscape repair, putting in new plants, taking out damaged landscaping. They can handle everything from the design to the planting to the maintenance, everything necessary to transform your outdoor area into a space your family will treasure. They're at 321-749-1432. They travel all the way throughout Brevard County, so that's good. If you're listening from Palm Bay, you don't have to tune us out. You might need a landscaper down there. But they also have Space Coast Nursery here on Merritt Island, which is 321-452-5565. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 1. Their address is 3880 North Courtney Parkway, Merritt Island, Florida. If you're a do-it-yourselfer and like to get down and play in the dirt and all that sort of stuff, Space Coast Nursery might have exactly what you're looking for. If you like to have somebody do it for you, Treasure Your Landscape. They are excellent at what they do. They love Jesus. They're friends of the Refresh Radio program, and they've done a number of projects for us, and you may want to consider them for your next project and have them put their skill set to work for you. So thank you, Treasure Your Landscape, for all you do in Brevard County. So 1 John chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse number 4, but we'll pick up our study at verse number 6. It says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." That's where we're going to stop the reading right now. And we've already talked about verse number 4 and 5 and how greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Verse number 4 had begun with this statement, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." So if you and I are operating from God's resources, living in the environment of God, and God is the atmosphere in which we thrive in, then we're going to be overcomers. In fact, the Bible refers to us as more than overcomers. And I know in this world that it can be easy to have a victim mindset. But I want you to see that from 1 John chapter 4, you and I are not helpless victims. But because we are of God, we're overcomers. We can overcome deception. We can overcome everything and everyone that is trying to undermine the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're overcomers. So my mother, when she was alive, she had a favorite song. It was Victory in Jesus. And so every time she came to Florida, she wanted us to sing Victory in Jesus. Now, if you knew my mother's life, you would see that it was filled with a lot of physical challenges. There was a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. But all that she went through never changed the reality that she was victorious because of the work of Jesus Christ. Because we are in a covenant relationship with God, we are sentenced to victory. We are sentenced to godliness. We are sentenced to life, to a life of blessing, a life of holiness. It is a wonderful thing. And so as we're here on this Thursday, I hope that you are not falling prey to the devil's deception that you're helpless, you're hopeless, and you're defeated. Because that's not what the Bible's testimony about you has to say. So we are victorious. We are overcomers. So verse number 6 is where we're going to pick up now. And again, it starts off with the reality that we are of God. In fact, there's a lot of passages here. Verse number 6 says we are of God. Verse number 1 talks about spirits to test whether they are of God. Verse number 2 talks about the Spirit of God and that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So everything that is being talked about in 1 John chapter 4 is trying to give us the tools that are necessary to identify whether a spiritual dynamic is of God or it is not of God. And so here we see that we are of God. He who knows God hears us. So we begin to see that if a person is in a relationship where God is their foundation, he is their fixation, he is the focal point of everything in our life, he is our source, he is our goal, he is the process, he's the beginning, he's the end, he's everything in between. When we realize that as our environment, we also realize that God has gifted to us relationships with other believers. John was one of the disciples. His testimony was rock solid. His life was rock solid. Everything about him screamed relationship with Jesus, both while he was ministering here on earth and after Jesus had raised from the dead and ascended to the Father. John was a beloved disciple, and everybody knew his testimony. And he says, if a person is of God, they are going to have the ability to listen, to receive, and to learn from others who are also of God. So a great big yellow flashing light of be careful is if you find a person who is unteachable. If you find a person who doesn't want to listen to anyone other than themselves talk, or if the sources that they do listen to are worldly voices who they're of the world, therefore they speak of the world, they speak what the world wants them to speak, and the world listens to them. You know, anytime you see that sort of commonality and they are silencing the voices of God's children, God's anointed messengers, anytime they don't want to hear that, that's a warning sign. In the words of Elmer Fudd, be very, very careful. We are of God. He who knows God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us. And so if we are of God, we are going to want to hear the anointed messages that flow from heaven, not just through us, but through others who are also living and thriving in relationship with God. Through my now into my fourth decade of ministry here in Brevard County, I can't tell you the number of times I've encountered people, and some of them are good people, godly people. Some of them have been promoted into the presence of Jesus, but they basically didn't participate in anything going on in a countywide level unless they were the center attraction. And that always causes me to scratch my head. I've seen it in church where unless someone was, you know, the person in charge, or it was something near and dear to their heart, they just didn't participate, not realizing that if they built relationship with those people who were coming up in ministry, growing in ministry, maturing in ministry, that they were going to have an opportunity to pour into those people and, you know, maybe help them to avoid some stumbling stones in life. So I am not the end-all voice. In fact, over the past few years, it's like, wow, I have heard some incredible things from some anointed ministers, and my reaction was, where have I been hiding under a rock for the past, you know, five decades or six decades, that I'm just now hearing that as I'm in my 60s? And the truth of the matter is, you know, maybe I could have learned that a little earlier, but the truth was God positioned an anointed messenger, and I mean, we are both extremely grateful for the crossing paths that God directed our steps and to where we encountered one another. So I've been able to pour into him. He's been able to pour into me. And it's not just that one voice. I hear a lot of wonderful things. So I was preparing for a message, and I heard this preacher, and he said something, and I said, well, I've never heard that before, so I'm going to dive deeper, and I'm going to look into that to make sure what he said was true, and sure enough, it was. And so as we begin to wind down here in 1 John chapter 4, there may be some things that you hear me say that trigger a learning activity in your life. So I'll throw this out there. The reason why multiple voices are important is sometimes we become so familiar with a person's voice and what they have to say that whenever they say something, it doesn't automatically register that it might be a thus saith the Lord moment. So there have been times when I, so in my house, I'm not only a man who loves God, but I'm also a husband who loves God. I've a father who loves God. Now I'm a grandfather who loves God. And I not only had those relationships with my family, but I was also the pastor. There was a time when I was also the youth pastor. I was fulfilling everything. And so my kids heard my voice at every turn. And that was before I was on, you know, the Refresh radio program. And so there was a season of ministry at Merit Assembly of God where youth pastors were coming through and leaving and coming through and leaving and coming through and leaving. And it got to the point that the entire youth group had seen so many youth pastors come and go that when a new person came in, they didn't even attempt to get to know them, because they automatically said, oh, well, they're going to leave just like everybody else. And then there was a season where several people left, and because of family decisions and things like that, where they moved all across the country. I can tell you what year it was. It bridged 2 years, 2005, 2006. And during that season, about 40% of our congregation relocated. They shifted all across the country, West Coast, Northeast, the middle of the country, across the state. It was a painful season for me. And my young people at that time said, oh, well, everybody else leaves. It's not a surprise that they're leaving too. And because there had been so much transition, they were no longer willing to subject their ear. And I said, you know what? I'm going to step in and I'm going to be the youth pastor on top of everything else, because I know that at least I'm not going to hurt them. They know that I'm here. I've got a track record. I'm staying here. This is not a stepping stone. I didn't know that I was going to be here forever and ever. Amen. But this is where I'm at, and they know that my voice reflects stability. But then there came a time where they were so familiar with everything I said that even though there were times there were things going on in their life that I didn't know about, and the Spirit of God operated in my ministry that I addressed the things that they were dealing with. And so they knew that God was speaking through me. And I didn't even remember speaking the things that they said, man, Pastor Bob knows everything that's going on in us. But it was really the Spirit of God operating in me. There wasn't anything like, you know, manipulation or anything like that. But because they heard me at home, they heard me in youth, they heard me, and by the way, my home was open to all of my kids. You know, they would bring friends home. One morning I got up and there were more people in church, or there were more people in my house than when I went to bed. There was only my wife and I. When I got up, there was a whole house full of young people, because all three of my kids had brought people home and they just crashed. And it was a Sunday morning. We had more people sleeping in my house than we had in church the first year that we were there. It was crazy. But they got so used to hearing my voice, so familiar, that I had to go out and get a youth pastor. I said, God, it's true I'm not hurting them, but right now I'm not helping them. They need a voice that they can recognize, that it's a thus saith the Lord. So we recognize and value not just what God speaks to us, but what God speaks through other people. If a community of believers is only us four and no more, that's a very dangerous place to be. Verse number 6 says, by this we know the spirit of truth, that would be the spirit that comes from God, and the spirit of error, which is an imposter's, it's a spirit of a deceit. It's a spirit that is not authentic and genuine, but it's actually an imposter. And instead of leading into a deeper relationship with God, it is going to lead into a spirit of wandering in error. So we if you're of God, you're going to recognize God's voice because it lines up with the Word of God, and you're going to value it even when it comes from someone else's mouth. So, verse number 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is, here's another one of those phrases, of God. So if we're thriving in our relationship with God, we're going to realize that love comes from God. Now, you've got to understand there were many different words. There was erotic love. That's not necessarily from God, although a covenant relationship with God, there is going to be that physical intimacy aspect there. There is brotherly love. So Philadelphia, phileo, it is a brotherly love. And, you know, there are love because we have things in common. But agape love, unconditional love, love that loves people even when they are at their worst, that's something that can only come from God. There is no other source, no alternative source to love. You can't buy it at the grocery store, can't buy it at the department store, can't buy it online. It's not cheaper by the dozen. The only way that we have love operating in our life is when we are in a relationship with God, and that love that emanates from His person enables us to love one another. Now, here's what it says. Everyone who loves like God loves is born of God. So if you want to know why the world seems to be becoming a more hostile place, it's because the world has been moving farther and farther away from God. They've been marginalizing God's voice, trying to silence God's voice, trying to eliminate the knowledge of God. And so even though some people claim to be of God, they are not operating with the love of God. And so it indicates that God has not caused that born-again experience to take effect in their life. If you're only born once, you die twice. You die physically, and then you die eternally. But if you die once, if you're born, and then you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, and then you are born not physically, but you are spiritually reborn from being dead in your trespasses and sin, then you only die once, and that's a physical death. It's not an eternal death. So if we love one another, that is not a one-time act. It is something that happens over and over again. It indicates that we are not only a person who's been born of God, but that we know Him. We know Him. So if we know God, we know what pleases Him. We know what displeases Him. We know what is in alignment with His Word. And we know what is in alignment with His character. And we know that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We know that there is a plan, a purpose, and that God works all those things out for our good. So we can continue to operate in love because we know Him. I pray in 2025 that all of us set out on a journey to know God better at the end of 2025 than we knew him at the beginning. So my wife and I have been married for a long, long time. We met, we became more aware of each other's personality. We became aware that God had spoken independently to us, that I was, you know, going to marry her and she was going to marry me. That was, God told me I was going to marry her. He told her she was going to marry me. Those were independent conversations that we didn't know the other one had had until quite some time down the road. And we weren't rushing the relationship. We were just going along. And, you know, on the day that we got married, both of us probably thought that we knew everything there was to know about one another and that we loved one another. But the truth of the matter is in the decades since then, we've learned a whole lot more about one another. And we've learned that the love that we had at the beginning of our marriage, while it was wonderful, it doesn't compare to the love that we have for one another now. Now, why am I telling you about that dynamic for us? Because it's the greatest parallel that we have to a covenant relationship with God, where we love him because he's God. And the more that we know him, the more we love him. And we're never going to run out a fresh revelation of who God is. In fact, there's something that we're going to be talking about as we move through 1 John chapter 4 up through verse number 16. That's where we're going to end. That there's stuff in there that unless we know that and believe it, it's all that's going to be a breakthrough moment. And so I pray that 2025 would be a year of breakthrough where we know God better than we've ever known him and we love him more than we've ever loved him so we can love one another the way that God has loved us. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Waylon Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Waylon specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Waylon Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit waylonduff.kw.com. Waylon Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.